Hello friends, Chris here, your friendly neighborhood dungeon master. Welcome to this episode of the Heroes of Havel's Way. If you would like more of this content or a larger chunk of it, you can get that. The first 7 episodes of part 2 of the Heroes of Havel's Way are out right now on our Patreon. You can pick those up by going to patreon.com/thakawa. That's THACOWA. Thanks for listening and let's get on with the show.
In the barony of Castakin, evil is rising. Creatures born of mud, stone, and bone have appeared. Politics keep the powers that be from taking action against this threat. The barony needs heroes. In the far-off hamlet of Havel's Way, 2 childhood friends, bound by dreaming stars, may be the heroes that the barony needs. This is their story. The story of the Heroes of Havel's Way. Odine Dahlia Celestine is played by Angela Murray.
She knows that there is something amiss here, but she is not socially adept to have any clue of how to help.
Aramon Durant is played by Jared Rasher.
I know, I've mentioned my dreams before. I had one that didn't just feel meaningful, it felt important.
And the Dungeon Master is Chris Snezak.
Why are we teaching when we're fighting something terrible?
You will not invade my small clothes!
Get it off!
Now, we begin. So what is Silfaria wearing?
Silfaria's got a pair of light gray pants that are kind of cinched around the waist, but kind of flowing around the legs. And then a blue tunic that's this nice oceany dark blue that's got this kind of like aquatic theme embroidered around the wrist cuffs. And they're long enough that they almost cover the hands.
Nice.
And then we got her it's not silk, but a nice light fabric scarf that she can use, kind of tie around her face.
And then Ziam walks over to her. Here, I think these would be a nice finishing touch. She hands her a pair of their half gloves that cover only down to past the knuckles. And they are a dark, dark blue, almost black, that match the rest of the outfit. That way nobody will see your fingers or question anything about it.
Oh, that's perfect. Thank you so much for this. I know this was a lot.
No, it's okay. You had the coin. I assume you had the coin. The coin was, for all of this stuff, it was 9 silver pieces.
Yeah, definitely have that.
Silfaria watches you pull out the money. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I mean, it's not like I have much use for money most of the time.
She seems a little choked up about the gesture of you buying her these clothes. They really appreciate it as they admire themselves in the mirror and look at the gloves and the tunic.
We'll probably still want the cloak if it's not too hot, but now it won't be, you know, like if the cloak opens, billows open or something, it won't be obvious that you're not human. Because you should totally be able to go around and experience things just like everybody else.
I appreciate that. I just would like to not make people uncomfortable.
I get that. I don't actually do people that often. Sometimes when I'd come into town, I'd say things and they'd make people uncomfortable. It's not the same thing you're dealing with, but I've been there. So, yeah, sometimes I open my mouth or do things and people are just like, what's wrong with that girl?
Xenon has been looking over the outfit with the gloves and everything as you say that. Well, I think you're probably doing pretty okay with her, as she observes things. I mean, you've taken a construct that I have no idea where you got it from in and given them some amount of joy, it looks like, as she's like using her thumb at her chin, like observing. You need some shoes or some boots or something, though. I don't sell those here.
Yeah, that would probably be a good idea, too. Is there a farrier?
You wait here. I'll go get them.
Oh.
Don't steal anything.
I won't steal anything. Monty, you don't steal anything either.
Monty's like in the ribbon right now. He like comes up from behind a counter. He's like got a bunch of like ribbon. He's like, I'm not doing anything. I don't know what you're talking about. And he sinks back down behind the counter with the ribbon.
You put those ribbons back. If you're good, I might buy you some ribbon.
Yes. Okay. She gets a pair of boots for her. She's got a nice outfit now.
And then I'll give her another silver or several copper to get some ribbon for Monty.
She actually just takes the ribbon, cuts it, and like ties a couple of ribbon bows in his fur. This is the nicest raccoon I've ever seen. Most of them just eat trash.
I mean, he'll eat trash too, but he's...
Yeah, trash is delicious.
Not as delicious as donuts.
Donuts are better, but I like trash too. A little day old, got a few maggots in it. Good protein.
Oh, Monty.
What?
You know that you don't eat that in front of the people, right? Because it grosses them out.
I mean, they can't hear me, so what's the point?
That's true.
So what grosses them out? Says Xenon.
Oh, he was talking about how he likes trash too. It's just he knows he has some people manners.
Silvara is just standing in the corner shaking her head. You can go back into the town now if you want.
Yeah, we'll head back into town and stroll the streets with a little more confidence.
Yeah, nobody even barely looks twice at Silvara.
And Odie might have done something like put her hair up in a ponytail or something, just so she looks a little different too, just in case somebody's like, hey, there's that girl that said a muck monster was someplace that it wasn't.
Nice, nice. It's interesting to see Odie in a ponytail. You get a couple of compliments, because you're not wearing the same kind of clothing that most of the people around here wear, because you're from, you know, Hovel's Way. You have kind of homespun stuff, but it's nice, right? Like, you and Noel know how to sew.
Yeah.
You have to take care of your own clothes. Where are you heading to before I cut away from you?
Probably back the way we came, kind of trying to keep an eye out for where Aramon went.
Aramon, to the northwest of the building, which you find out is a fish processing plant. Real quick, the things that you have discovered from having a chat with Leo Polk, Nux is famous for their fish farms. So each of those fenced-in areas in the water is a fish farm. They just breed fish in a location, and it's become very profitable for them in this lake. They also have fishing boats that go out and bring fish back here, but those two things together have created a giant surplus of fish, which is why they ship so much of it out of Nooks into the rest of the barony, and even beyond the barony. It's one of the prime exports, along with the glass that comes from here, from the barony of Castakin, the salted fish and the dried fish.
What kind of livestock do most people raise around here? Actually, where we're from.
It is sheep, the occasional cow, but mostly sheep.
Oh, look at him go. So you have made fish to operate like sheep.
Yeah, kind of. That's kind of how we've gone about it, I suppose.
Amazing. Except you can't really make sweaters out of fish, but other than that.
I mean, but we get enough coin that we can buy our sweaters. Plus, we have cloth that comes in. It's nice. It's nice that the Baroness has created this very quality road system around in the last decade or so. It has allowed us to move goods along the barony at a rapid pace. I very much appreciate everything she's done.
It's really good to know that she has been providing for all of you. I feel even better doing work for her now.
Our fishmaster has done a very good job, too.
Aramon will stop for a minute and go, fishmaster? Immediately in Aramon's head, his imagination is conjuring some wizard with, like, fish on their robes, like, gesturing out to the water and, like, summoning fish.
So, tell me how your father has been.
Oh, well, he has been disappointed quite a bit because I did not become a knight. Aramon's definitely going to start going into things that probably are not what he was asking, but after a few moments, he will stop himself and say, but he is well, and he helps to provide for the defense of Hovel's Way, which is where we lived.
King of too much information. That's great. So where's Hovel's Way? I've never heard of it.
And I will describe as best Aramon can where it's at, pointing out that he has a -1 in his survival and no cartography skills whatsoever. So he is vaguely guessing at the direction and distance that Hovel's Way is from here.
That's hilarious. So you're way out east.
Yes.
Surprising. Not many people live away from the lake in the barony anyway.
Very nice place.
Kind of wild country out there near the forest and the foothills.
It's a very nice place, except for the recently, you know, having the dream where the gigantic thing summoned all of the mud monsters and then having them come up out of our lake and having to fight them off and everything. That just kind of rolled into very unpleasant circumstances.
He gives you a strange look as you say all that. You're kind of an oddball, aren't you?
Am I?
Yes, you are. If you didn't know, just so you know.
I think Aramon is going to look at him and go, all right, let me start this from the beginning. And I'd like to have Aramon recount everything that has happened, but using performance. He's not going to sing like he normally does, but he is definitely going to make this a rousing, fun epic that he is going to explain all of this for him.
Go ahead and make your performance check.
All right. Oh.
Would you like to use your luck to reroll that?
I would like to use my luck to reroll that. That was much better. I got a 22 that time. I think what happened was he did start going off on a tangent, and then he stops himself and goes, no, that is not entertaining. And then I go back to the fun details.
So what you're telling me is that the mud monsters are a problem everywhere. There is one of the legendary titans that is trying to get out of its imprisonment, that is because it's been imprisoned somewhere around here. You're looking for a bunch of warded places to like try to stop the wards from being broken, and you're working for the Baroness to help do that.
Exactly. Oh, and I've been having dreams that guided me down this path.
And that has something to do with the Dreaming Veil?
Yes.
The god, the Dreaming Veil.
I believe that the Dreaming Veil has called me to help this situation.
It's a little above my pay grade, if you ask me.
I was a little surprised by it myself.
I don't know why your father wouldn't be proud of you.
My father has had a difficult time between the conflict that the two of you fought together in, and then once my mother was gone, he has little joys that he can hunt down and actually pursue.
Oh, your mother. I knew her, too.
Really? She was gone by the time I was old enough to know anyone.
Very competent wizard.
And at this, Aramon gets the most quizzical, surprised, unknowing look on his face.
And with that quizzical, surprised, unknowing look on his face, we cut back over to Odie.
I mean, he's got to be around here somewhere.
Yeah, but I don't know where he is. I can't smell him. There's too much fish. Can we get some fish? The fish smells really good.
We'll get some fish later. We'll get fish for dinner. Because I'm sure there's not any other options for dinner. Let's go to the place with the star chart. Then we'll find Aramon, because Aramon will come back to the inn eventually.
That sounds like a reasonable plan. So you make your way over, and this is a shrine. It's called the Shrine of the Stone Golem. It is a small shrine and house of ritual worship of the Circle of Stars. When you walk in, it is a circular building on the inside. There is a carved into the circular part in the middle is a star chart. And the stone golem is at the center of this particular star chart. There's an old woman. She is older than Noelle. She is bent. She is frail looking, and she is sweeping the stone star chart that takes up most of the floor. There's nobody else in here.
Odie steps in and immediately has a sense of reverence for the star chart that is on the floor, so is very careful where she steps as she's looking down and taking it all in.
The old woman stops sweeping and looks up. Well, hello there. What brings you to the Shrine of the Stone Golem?
Well, I saw the star chart sign and, you know, wondered if this had any association with the Circle of Stars.
Oh, why, yes. I am a druid of the Circle of Stars. My name is Mara. Who are you? Are you one of our members? Are you part of the circle?
Kinda.
So we should stop for a second. Your class is druid. Druid of the Circle of Stars is a title, also in this world, just so you know.
Right.
Okay. Odie has no idea about that potentially, though. I don't know. You can decide whether she does or not.
Yeah, she doesn't know about the social organization. She just knows that she is a druid of the Circle of the Stars.
Yeah, Noelle has probably given you the title.
Yes. She stands up a little straighter, 5'5" of her. I am also a druid of the stars, the Circle of Stars.
Oh, it's so nice to see another member. Are you one of the Independents? Are you one of the Celestials? Or are you one of the Old Stars?
I don't know.
Huh. Independent, then, I suppose.
I guess, because I've... She pauses for a second, looks to Monty on her shoulder, looks back to Silfari, and like, I've only ever known one other druid of the Circle of Stars. She raised me and taught me.
Oh, you're just an apprentice from out in the woods from nowhere, huh? Or out in the fields, just not from around here.
No.
That is the old way, the apprentice way.
Yeah, I'm from Hovel's Way.
That little town far, far to the east?
Yeah, east of Crossing.
Yeah, there's that little lake out there.
Uh-huh.
I've been there once far, far in the past with a friend of mine named Noelle.
Yes, Yes, Noelle. Noelle's my mentor.
Oh, how is little Noelle?
She's doing good, and like Odie will spin off into probably about 5-10 minutes of just randomly telling her about, you know, how Noelle's been doing, which aches or pains she's been complaining about, the last time she made Odie's favorite soup.
During that time, this little old lady, Mara, she makes some tea for you and her, and she walks over to the table that is outside of the circle, sits down at it, serves you both tea. It's so good to hear that Noelle is doing well, especially after she left the order during the schism.
Now, did she just ignore Silfaria, or did she offer tea to Silfaria too?
She offered tea to Silfaria too.
Okay.
She also put a couple of berries on the table for Monty.
Okay. You said the what? The schism?
Oh, yes, yes.
And Odie has a very blank expression on her face.
Noelle was one of the causes of it.
Noelle?
Oh, yes.
What did she do?
She didn't particularly do anything except want to adhere to some of the old ways. But there was a whole group of younger members that wished to take control, have more of a say in what happened in the world, not to perform our traditional advisor role.
Well, I mean, Noelle taught me that we're supposed to observe and interpret what the stars are telling us, not that we're supposed to tell people how to do things.
Well, one of our traditional functions is to be advisors to the kings, the duchies, the baronesses, and the other nobles of the lands. That's what we do.
Yeah, but that's helping people. That's not ruling people.
Many of the younger people think that the nobles shouldn't be an organizing factor anymore. They should have more of a council, more of a centralized voting system for the kingdom. And they believe that they should have a seat at the table too, because they can predict the future. That's dangerous talk, in my opinion.
Well, I could see wanting more people to have a say in things, but I don't know that just because we can sometimes get hints of what the future is, doesn't mean we know how it's going to get there or why it's going to get there, or that it makes our opinion better than anybody else's. But I don't necessarily, I mean, I know plenty of people who are just as smart as noble people.
Partially true. I don't disagree. Those people often don't have the resources, though, to make things happen, which is unfortunate. But that's the way of the world.
Which is why maybe they should get a seat at the table, too.
Maybe they should.
I'm not saying I should have a seat at the table, but I can see having more people have a seat at the table.
Mm.
Of course, I don't know what table this is, but this is really good tea.
Thank you. It's a jasmine that I enjoy making.
Maybe you should talk to my granddaughter.
She'll be around sometime today. She is one of the Celestials, a member of the Aqua Ars. They're the new blood that think they should have more of a say. Some of them are a little bit more militant, and I don't appreciate that. I wish we could all just live in peace. But I'm an old woman.
I mean, that would be nice, but that's not how people work.
Of course. Noelle seems to have taught you much of what she knows. You say many of the things that she says, but you are very young.
Not that young.
Are you like 18?
I think so.
She laughs when you say that. Oh, you realize I was a bit of an old woman when Noelle was your age.
Really? You're that old?
Yes.
I mean, you look old, but you don't look that old.
Close to 90, ma'am.
Wow. That's a lot of... And Odie starts trying to count.
With that, a younger woman walks in. She is wearing robes that are a dark blue with patterned stars on them. If you had to guess, because she is a little older than you, not much older than you, though. If you had to guess, this is probably the granddaughter that Mara was talking about.
Odie will look up, watch her, kind of expectantly, curiously, taking in, you know, this druid who's much closer in age to she.
Grandmother, who is this? This is Odin Dahlia Celestine. This is my granddaughter, Dowie.
Hi, you can just call me Odie.
Well, that's good, because that other thing's a whole mouthful.
It is. That's why I just go by Odie.
With that, we will cut away. So that was a bit of a story there, huh?
I did not know that about my mother. Yeah, my father had not told me anything about her being able to cast spells or anything of that nature.
Yeah, it's tragic what happened to your parents. They had a bit of a falling out.
Well, I assume, and then they moved to Havel's Way, and then my mother passed on, yes.
She's not dead.
I think you must be mistaken my father for someone else.
Your mother works for the court of Rook. She's one of the high mages.
That does not... Aramon is completely speechless at this, just trying to process.
Did your father never tell you?
For a second, he doesn't even register that he's still talking, and I think Aramon takes out the spoon that he had that, you know, had his mother's initials on it, and looks at that, and after a few minutes, he just kind of, like, really slowly turns and says, no.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know you didn't know.
I think I need...
Can I have another drink over here? Like we need something stronger.
That's all right. I think I need to get back to the inn in case my friends happen to come back there.
Well, I hope we talk again. It was good to meet you.
I do too. On my way out, I'm going to look at everybody in here, and I'm going to put a gold piece down on the counter and say, get around for everyone.
Everybody raises their glasses toward you. Like, thanks. Oh, that guy's great. I love that guy. Who's that guy? I don't even know him.
He's my best friend.
So amazing. Such a good person. He just bought everybody a drink.
And he wanders out of there completely stunned.
So you're wandering around stunned. You get near one of the fish markets. They have like a fish stand. People are throwing fish around. People are catching them in paper, wrapping them up. Here, I'm bidding. I give one copper, 3 copper, 5 copper, 10 copper, 1 silver. You throw him a fish, catches it. That goes on as you're just kind of making your way through this space. Everything's kind of muted around you.
Yeah, I think as he's like walking through this market, he probably walks past where he is supposed to have turned at some point because he is just deep in his own thoughts on this.
Yeah, I think eventually you find yourself away from all the people and out in a field. Probably to the east where there's like this dead tree. There's a pine in the distance. There's a little copse of trees to the northeast of you. You can see people in the distance working, fishing, boats out on the lake. But everything's kind of muted and quiet for you.
He's going to take out, you know, the spoon with his mother's initials on it, and he's going to look at it. I used to hold you and talk to you like you could hear me in the hereafter. And you aren't in the hereafter. And I was talking to a spoon. I don't know how this affects everything else, but I still have a calling. I can't let this change that calling, but I do need to find out more about you.
The spoon wavers in your hand for a moment, goes in and out of focus, almost like a watercolor, before re-solidifying again.
All right. I don't know what that was about. I know that I can start seeing magical auras now. Maybe this is a magical aura. Maybe I didn't ask for it. I am not sure. This has been a very long day.
A very long day. With that, you feel it's not quite a touch on your shoulder, but like something is with you and tries to help carry the burden that you've now found yourself with. You don't feel maybe quite so alone or disappointed. Sad still, sure, but almost like somebody decided to hold your hand to help you with it.
I think in a way, in Aramon's mind, all of the problems, all of the family things, in the map in his mind, that's all stuff that is back in Hobble's Way, and that is not where he's at anymore.
Where do you go now?
Well, I look at the tree, and I look at the town and go, I definitely missed my turn. And then I start wandering back towards the town, hopefully finding the inn eventually.
As you start wandering back towards the town, there are screams that come from behind you. So, you're a druid of the circle?
Yes. Yes.
Are you one of the old stars, or are you one of the Aqua Ars? Are you one of the Celestials? Or are you just an independent that doesn't believe in either side?
I think you could probably classify me as an independent.
Huh.
I'm not really part of the. And she just kind of gestures wildly at everything around her.
The old woman looks at her granddaughter. This is the protege of Noelle Gaudette. The younger woman gives you a sharp look. She was one of the ones that started all of this. I don't have a problem with it. It allowed us Celestials to really start making our way to actually having power and a say.
Yeah, that's what your grandmother told me. Noelle didn't really talk about this stuff.
She more believed in using the celestial matrix to try to understand what was going to happen so she could stop terrible tragedies from occurring, like great tragedies. We all thought she was a little out there, a little much.
I don't know, with the things that have been going on lately.
She might have had a point. These mud monsters are certainly are a problem.
Yeah, they're a pretty big problem.
The pattern tends to say that it has something to do with the Titans.
Yep.
So, what are you doing in town?
I am here with my friend, and we are waiting for the Baroness's retinue to arrive.
Why are you waiting for the Baroness's retinue? Do you work with her?
Yes.
Huh. At least she's one of the good ones.
Yeah, she seems like a good lady, trying to do the right thing for the people.
She's done a lot of good things with very little help, although Siobhan is quite the druid. She's very adept at reading the Celestial Matrix.
Right. Odie acts like she knows that name.
Dowie's trying to get a read on you to see what you actually know. She understands that you're probably from out in the middle of nowhere, but any student of Noelle's is probably somebody to be reckoned with.
Not to mention, Odie has these abilities that aren't normal.
Yeah, she doesn't know that yet, though.
But yeah, Odie has no idea. She thinks what she could do is what all the druids could do.
Yeah. Dowie looks over at her grandmother. You didn't give her the star chart, did you? I did not. No, not for anybody but me. I mean, we've had this conversation a few times already. I mean, if you gave it to me, then I could make way for the Aqua Ars according to what is supposedly on that star chart. Which is why I will not give it to you. You'll have to wait until I pass. Then you will inherit my things like is proper.
If Odie had a bush to back into, she'd be backing into it right now.
Silpharia has already like stood up and like slowly backed away into a corner. Monty is like standing by her legs, like, what's going on, man? She says to him, I think they're having a family squabble about something important.
I love that Silpharia can understand Monty. This sounds like family matters. I should probably go find Aramon.
Did you tell Mara anything about why you were here?
I think I just said that we were waiting on the Baroness's contingent, not necessarily the mission.
When you say that, Dowie looks at you, then looks back at her grandmother. Look, you should really just give me the star chart. I might be able to use it to stop whatever's going on with these Titans and these mud people.
It's pretty complicated. It's not going to be something one person can solve.
True, but we have to start somewhere, right? Information is necessary for things like that. Supposedly the star chart has something to do with Valhal Morris, the Mountain Strangler.
Yeah, we're working on it.
Yeah, but my grandmother has a star chart that talks about some of the prophecies surrounding it. She won't give it up.
Can I look at it?
No, says the old woman.
Not even just a peek?
No, it is hidden away and kept by me because that is what I'm supposed to do. That's when Mari's like, this is what I'm talking about right here. Like, the old star is just keeping in the way of not letting us do what our jobs. It could help. It could also destroy everything.
Look, I don't want to destroy everything. That's the whole reason we're trying to do this is because we don't want stuff to get destroyed. This is where I keep my stuff, and I don't want the place I keep my stuff to be destroyed.
And that is why I will not let this star chart go.
Right, but if the star chart has some information that could be useful for us in figuring out how to stop things from happening. I mean, if we had known what was going on that little island, I mean, if we hadn't have been lucky and figured it out or had Silpharia here to help us, we could have blown things up and that would have destroyed Crossing and probably destroyed Nook. And like having more information can only help.
They both look at you wide-eyed. What, you didn't tell them any of this before, so...
Nope, I didn't.
even Silpharia, it like puts her hand up to like go to stop you and then just kind of puts it down like, too late now. With that, there is a commotion from outside as people are yelling in the town about something going on down by one of the fishing farms. Both the old woman and Dowie look over the shoulder. Mud monster's attacking! Mud monster's attacking!
Oh no, I gotta go, I gotta go. And like, Odie's just gonna run.
Dowie also runs, right, out. And she runs out, she jumps up and turns into a hawk and starts flying that way.
Oh, that's cool. I don't know that I can do that. And I'm just going to keep running.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Heroes of Hobble's Way. Music and sound effects were from Storyblocks and Envato. If you'd like to interact with us, you can join our Discord. There's a link to join it in our show notes. We talk about D&D and other fantasy gaming stuff there along with other topics. If you want some more, you can be a patron. Being a patron, you can get the first 7 episodes of Part 2 as one large chunk right now. Join for free for 7 days and stick around for $5 a month. I'll be releasing our episodes early there in larger pieces going forward. We also have PDF content of GM tools like Jared's layer action piece and things you can use in your games like stat blocks for the Slurg and magic swords from Jared. I also talk about the game there, The Heroes of Hovel's Way, in a GM podcast called Chris's Hovel. Check it out at patreon.com/thakawa. That's patreon.com/thac0wa. The Patreon helps us make this show and Thaka with advantage. Speaking of patrons who help us out, I would like to thank David Ridout, Matea the Sorceress, the Polish Ogre, Doug Rass, and Victor Wyatt. Last thing, we're part of the Polygamerist Podcast Network. Great show on there is called Pandas Talking Games. It's where Phil and Senda take questions from the listeners and answer them, like Card Talk, but for your game. Thank you once again for listening, and beware Valhalla Morris and his Slurg. They just love getting in your small clothes.